This podcast is brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. Thanks for listening.
We're indeed thankful that we are on this side of the cross and we have His Word with us. So let's dive in to it with the scripture reading being read to us by our sister Mason.
Good morning. The first passage of the year is taken from the book of Amos, chapter 8. And we will read verses 11 and 12. If you're using the Bibles in the service hall, the passage can be found on page 924. 924. Amos 8, verses 11 and 12. Days are coming, declares the Sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. This is God's word.
Thank you, Sister Mason. I'll now pass the time over to Pastor Andrew to explain more about today's passage.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Excuse me. And welcome to 2025. As we come to this brand new year, we're actually going to have two sermons this week as well as next week just to look at the doctrine of God's Word. Now, in order to do so, I want to ask you guys the question, what do you guys eat? All right, what do you all feed on? Now, this is a really important question because I'm not just talking about eating for fun or eating for taste, but what is it that we eat that gives us nourishment and nutrition? Because, you know, we kind of like have been eating really poorly for the like last month, right? You know, you kind of look at all this food where it is full of salt and oil and just eating it can sort of be like give you a heart attack. And there's all this dessert with lots of sugar and dairy and cream, and just looking at it like adds like 1 inch to your belt by belt size, right? But what is it that we really need to eat and have in our diet as a consistent and almost daily basis? And that is the Word of God, right? That is the Word of God. Now, we began today's passage with a reading found in the book of Amos. And actually, it would be really helpful if you actually have the Bible in front of you, either in your handphone or in these blue Bibles you have in front of you, because we're going to be looking at a few passages today, and it'll be great if you actually have it in front of you. Now, today, because we're looking at a topical sermon, it's really important that one of the principles that I want to embody as we look at God's Word today in a topical sermon is we need to look from the general to the particular, from the context to the text. And today, in the book of Amos, it's actually speaking to the northern kingdom of God's people 800 years before the birth of Jesus, which is Israel. Okay, so at this time, 800 years before the birth of Jesus, God's people were separated into the northern Israel and the southern kingdom, Judah. And Israel, during this time, were doing really well economically. Things were booming. People were having lots of business. It was really good for them. But God sends His prophet, Amos, to speak to the people of Israel, because even though things are going really well economically, business-wise during this time, they were actually rebelling against God. They were really unjust to the poor people in Israel. There was oppression, there was inequality, and there was lots of idolatry. So God sends Amos to speak a word of judgment to the people of the northern kingdom, Israel. And what does he say? Part of the judgment is that God will say that because of your sin, there will be a famine. There will be a famine, right? There will be a famine, but not a famine of food where they cannot find food to eat, or a famine of water where they cannot find water to drink, but something vastly worse, right? There will be a famine of the word of the Lord. People will go from the stretch of the country, from shore to shore, from north to the east to the south, and they will look to hear the word of God, but they will not hear and find the word of God. So the first principle that I want to really bear upon our hearts today is we need the word of the Lord in our lives. We need to gain sustenance and nourishment from the word of the Lord, because without the word of the Lord, it is actually God's judgment upon his people and there is no salvation. I think we are agreed on that, right? We need the word of God. A famine of the word of God means there is no salvation. There is only certain judgment. The Bible actually tells us then, as we turn to another part of the Bible, which is in 2 Timothy. So you can turn with me to the New Testament, to 2 Timothy. Okay. So 2 Timothy, if you're looking at the green Bibles, can be found on page 1196, right? 1196. Again, as we turn from the general to the particular, Paul wrote the letter of Timothy to his student Timothy, and he says to him, "But as for you, Timothy, continue what you've learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now, first thing I want you to notice in this passage is that Timothy has been a person who has grown up in the Scriptures. He has known the Scriptures since he's a toddler, infancy. But that's not an excuse for him to stop reading the Word of God or stop continuing in the Word of God. But instead, Paul tells Timothy that he must continue in the Word of God, right? He must keep being fed by the Word of God. He must keep hearing the Word of God. And the Word of God achieves two things according to the Apostle Paul. According to the Apostle Paul, reading and feeding and hearing the Word of God sustains us in our faith, because one, it keeps helping us to grow deep roots into the truth that Jesus Christ dies for us and gives us salvation. But also, as we read God's word, it keeps instructing us, it keeps training us, it keeps rebuking us and correcting us, so that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work of God. And so to summarize these two things that the reading of the word of God nourishes us and sustains us in, I think of it as when we read God's word, when we keep coming back to God's word, we are keep being grounded in the cross of Christ and in holy living, right? We keep being grounded in the cross of Christ as well as holy living. Now, in another part of the Bible, which is just a few pages over in the book of Colossians on page 1184, Paul then writes to a church in Colossae. And he says the same thing, right? I'll read it for us. "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, sing to God with gratitude in your hearts, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Now, I want us to notice here the same thing is happening, right? He's speaking to the church and he says, look, let the word of God dwell in you richly, right? He told Timothy to continue in the word of God. Here he says, let the word of God dwell in you richly, so the message of Christ may be strong in you, and that everything you do, you may do with giving thanks to God. And so we need to keep feeding on the word of God. We need to keep hearing the word of God, getting nourishment from the word of God, or what the Bible and Paul says, continue in the word of God, or dwell richly in the word of God, so that we may keep being strong in the cross of Christ and in holy living. Now, this was my passionate plea to you as we begin the year. Are we living this out? Do we live this out in our lives individually and corporately? Do you continue in the word of the Lord and dwell richly in the word of the Lord? Now, it's really interesting because actually commentators have said that, and this is no reflection upon us, right? This is just a general observation, but they've actually said that Christians in our generation are actually the most biblically illiterate of the different eras of Christian life over the centuries. Like, generally, as Christians today, and this is, again, not a reflection of us, but Christians actually know less about the Bible today than Christians in the past, because we don't read our Bibles as much, or we don't memorize, or we don't dwell or continue richly in the Word of God as generations pass. We may have Bibles, but they remain sort of closed and sitting on the shelves of our bookshelf, or we just are not reading it. Now, why is this happening, right? Why is this happening? One of the reasons, I think, is even though we live in a time where there is an abundance, right, of Bible and Bible resources, we are, in a sense, living in a famine of reading the Bible. It's like a contradiction, right? We have more access to the Bible now than ever before, but we actually read it less. Like in the past, you know, if you read church history, it used to be that only the church in the village would own a Bible, and people would not have Bibles in their homes, right? But today, every one of us has a Bible on our phone, and it's a free app. But the irony is we don't read it and dwell in it and continue in it. Why? Because I think in many ways we are kind of distracted from feeding and gaining nourishment and sustenance from God's Word. But instead, we spend our time on other things which actually do not give us spiritual nourishment. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be watching K-drama. I think K-drama is actually quite good, and I watched it some myself. I'm not saying we shouldn't be on social media, because, you know, I also go on social media. I go on YouTube and, you know, things like that. But I think that if we do these things to the expense of true spiritual nourishment in dwelling in the Word of God richly, continuing in the Word of God, then actually we will be weak and malnourished as Christians. We won't actually grow, because we're actually not feeding on what actually will give us strength for our spiritual walk. So this is the first thing that I want to encourage us as we come into the new year. Whether we're really feeding on the Word of God consistently, regularly, continuing in it, dwelling richly in it. Now, it's not enough, I think, to just read God's Word. But I think there's also a question of how we read the Word of God. And this is the second part of the sermon, right? So it's not enough just to read God's Word. And I want to exhort all of us to read God's Word. It's how we come and read the Word of God. Now, the principle of reading the Bible is always that as we come to the Word of God, we need to understand it as it is and humbly listen and obey it. We need to let it speak for itself. And what do I mean by this? So as we come to the Word of God, the way that we understand it is every text has a fixed meaning, and that fixed meaning is determined by the original author's purpose and intention in writing to his original audience. And what our task is as Bible readers is to try to understand what the original message is, to do our best to do the hard work of reading the Bible in its context, asking ourselves what the original message is, and to apply it to ourselves today. And this is the second part of the message. Because I think for many Christians, we fail to actually hear God's Word. We actually fail to gain nourishment from God's Word, because instead of listening to God's Word as it is, humbly listening to it, obeying it, and letting it speak to us, we put our ideas into God's Word. We put our own thoughts into God's Word. And this is tragic, right? Because instead of letting the Bible speak to us, we speak our own ideas into the Bible. And so what do I mean by this? Let me give you some examples. So in the responsive reading we had today, we looked at 2 Peter. So you can turn to 2 Peter with me. It's on page 1224, if you have it there in front of you, on your phones, on the green Bible. Look what it says here. He says, bear in mind that the Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. Okay, so this is very important. Let me just point this out to you first. So, Peter says that the Apostle Paul was speaking God's word to his people, right? He is given the wisdom of God to speak to us as Christians. And his message primarily is about salvation. Right? You read Paul's words, you let it speak to you, it's about salvation. But the irony is that this is what he says. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do other scriptures to their own destruction. Now, this is really amazing in a few ways, because first of all, it means that the New Testament writers recognize that their writings are equally scripture as the Old Testament. So they're equally the word of God, Peter's writings, Paul's writings, as the Old Testament. Both of them are speaking of salvation, but the incredible thing is, you can read the word of God, which speaks of salvation, but if you distort it, if you change it, and if you read your own ideas into it, instead of reading salvation, you actually bring destruction to yourself. Now, that's a really heavy thought, right? That you are reading something which is teaching you about salvation, but because you are adding things to it, you are reading destruction to yourself. Now, we see this in the Bible, right? Because what happens is, when you distort it, instead of actually letting God's word speak to you, you are actually bringing destruction on yourself. So let me bring you then to John chapter 5 and use Jesus and the Pharisees as an example. Okay, John chapter 5 and page 1069. Again, the context here is the Pharisees opposing Jesus. And we're going to be studying this for 2025. And so as we come to John chapter 5, this is where the opposition to Jesus from the religious authorities actually starts building up. And this is what Jesus says in the very first of their confrontations. He says, and the Father sent me, who has sent me, has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. So what is happening here? Jesus is saying that the Father testifies concerning the coming of Jesus for salvation. But what is happening? The Pharisees actually study the scriptures, but the word does not dwell in them, and neither do they understand what the scripture is about because they do not come to Jesus. Now, why do the Pharisees study the scripture so diligently, but not come to Jesus for salvation? The reason is because when they study the scriptures, they study the scriptures, and what they put into the scriptures is not the testimony about Jesus or the forecoming of Jesus, but they keep reading the law into the scriptures and think they can save themselves. And that's one of the problems, right, that the Pharisees exhibit. Instead of letting the scriptures speak as it is, instead of humbly listening to it and seeing the coming of Jesus, they actually see and put in the law instead. Now, this is so sad, right? Because as we've seen before, instead of listening to the scriptures, they distort the scriptures and they think that the way to salvation is the law instead of the cross of Christ. And as a result, they bring destruction upon themselves instead of salvation. So as we said before, if the scriptures speak of the coming of Jesus for salvation and holy living, then what the Pharisees have done is they've kind of gone too far to one side, right? They think that the way to salvation is just holy living instead of looking to the cross of Christ. Now, there's another opposite problem that we can see in the book of Romans. So the book of Romans is in page 1132. In chapter 6 of the book of Romans, and again, the context is Paul writes the book of Romans to talk about how we are all saved by grace, the unmerited generosity of God. We are all saved not because we deserve it, but because God has been so gracious towards us in sending Jesus to die for us. But look at what happens in chapter 6. In chapter 6, Paul knows that there will be people who will be listening to him, who will go too far in the direction of grace and will start reading grace into everything. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? All right, so here is Paul, whose main thesis in the book of Romans is salvation by grace. But he's saying, look, some people will take grace too far and they will say that we can keep sinning and there is no need for holy living, because we will always have grace. God will always forgive, even if we persistently live sinful lives. But look at what Paul says. He says, shall we go on sinning? He said, by no means, right? Definitely not. He said, the reason is, we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? And he says, we have been raised to new life so that we may live a new life in Christ. Now, I think this is something which is actually applicable in our day. I remember my first pastor, Philip Jensen, he said that in our age, there's a temptation where whenever we come to a passage of the Bible which speaks about holy living, sometimes we kind of kill it a death of 1,000 cuts. I still remember this phrase that he is, right? We give it a death of 1,000 cuts, where he says, okay, the Bible tells us to be the salt and light of the world, but don't worry, because if you can't, God will forgive you, right? We are to live, you know, holy lives, but don't worry if you can't, because God will forgive you. In 1959, there's this very famous preacher called Martin Lloyd-Jones. Have you all heard of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones? He was like this huge, huge figure in the past. He actually diagnosed this problem in his introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. He said, you know, the problem with the church in his day, this was like 1959, 60, 70 years ago, is that they've moved too far into grace. He said, we don't take the concerns of holiness and sanctification and holy living seriously, because we think that God will forgive everything and there's no place for holy living in the Christian life. And that's exactly the problem, right? We read grace into passages in the Bible which are actually exhorting us with the imperative to lead a new life in Christ, to die to sin. And that's why Martin Lloyd-Jones said that he characterized the Christianity of his age as a superficial Christianity, a weak Christianity, because we do not reflect Christ-likeness in our life. And that's why, actually, if you read statistics, it's quite shocking, because, again, in America, I was reading that the level of use of pornography in the church is actually about the same as outside the church. And the rate of divorce inside the church is actually the same as the rate of divorce outside the church. Now, I'm not picking on, those particular sins, in particular, but isn't it interesting? Because it just shows that as Christians, maybe not ourselves, but maybe in America, they're not taking seriously what God is saying about holiness and about obedience to God in a new life as born-again Christians. So for ourselves, we need to be careful too, because we live in that age where, as we struggle to be holy and Christ-like in our new life, we may be reading grace into exhortations to holy living and not taking God's word as it is and humbly letting it speak to us and listen to it and obey it. Now, we've already seen how in the Bible itself, people were reading law into passages of the Bible which were not there. People were reading grace into passages of the Bible which may not be there. But I think that in the day that we live in today, someone actually showed me this diagram many years ago when I was a young Christian. It's actually called BRIC, but I've kind of changed it around the words. But it's actually looking at the sources of authority in our Christian life. So one source of authority could be tradition, right? The church tradition. So someone was actually telling me, do you know in Vietnam, the Vietnamese church believe that as Christians, you cannot drink any alcoholic beverage. Right, so you will use that tradition and read it back into the Bible. So I don't know what happens when Jesus turns water into wine and what exactly they're drinking that day, right? Or when Paul tells Timothy to have more wine so that, you know, his upset stomach will get better. But that's actually reading your tradition into God's word. There's some other people who will read experience into God's word. So especially people who may be of the Pentecostal, charismatic background, they will read their own religious experience into God's word. But what I want to speak about today is culture, right? Human outlook. We can read our human culture, our outlook, our human reason into the Bible. Now, I think this is something that is particularly a concern in the world that we live in today, because culture is so powerful and strong. So a few weeks ago, I actually read a critique by an atheist guy called Jonathan Rauch, R-A-U-C-H, right? He's actually saying that Christians today, and he's not even a Christian, right? He's an atheist, are what he characterizes as thin Christians, right? So Martin Lloyd-Jones called us shallow, superficial Christians. He calls us thin Christians. And he said that it's because Christians today actually do not reflect Christ. They're not any different from the world, but they are actually reflecting culture. And he says part of why we reflect culture is because we have a consumer mindset, right? We have a consumer mindset. When we come to church and we want church to make us feel good, tell us how great we are, affirm us, and be really positive. Right? Because, you know, that's the consumer mindset. If I go to a restaurant and I don't get good service and I don't feel happy and affirmed and, you know, treated well, I'll leave a bad review. I have actually done that, right? Okay. Now, the problem is, what that means is when we come to church, we always, well, not we, but Christians can have that consumer culture mindset and come to church wanting always to be told how great they are, how be positive, be affirmed, and make feel warm and fuzzy, right? But the problem is when we read the Bible, when we're exhorted in the Bible, corrected, we are rebuked, we are taught and trained in righteousness, that can actually be quite uncomfortable. It will actually provoke us to be unhappy because the Bible, as we read it, we let it speak to us, will tell us our weaknesses, our flaws, our embarrassments, our shame. And that's a problem as a consumer Christian or a thin Christian, because if I always come to the Bible expecting to be affirmed, to be made warm and fuzzy, to be told how great I am and how God always loves me, then I will never hear the corrections, the rebukes, the trainings, and the teaching. But we mustn't let the culture of today help us to distort what the Bible is actually saying. We need to come to the Bible and read it as it is and humbly listen to it. So, it's a bit small, but these are all the devotions that you can find online, right? Actually, if you do a search on Christian devotionals, there are like hundreds of books you can find on Amazon. So a few years ago, someone gave me as a gift a Christian devotional. You know what a devotional is? Okay, sorry, in case you all don't know, I might be very old school. A Christian devotional is like, you can get it on an app, but you know, someone gave me a really nice hard copy book, which has 365 days of the year, and then there's like a Christian reading every day with a message, right? So someone was really nice and thoughtful and gave me this really, really nice presentable Christian devotional. See, I don't have the original one here because I don't want to kind of embarrass the person who gave it to me. And I started reading it. But after about a month, I had to stop. And then the person came and asked me a few months after that, hey, did you like the devotional I gave you, right? So I had to be really honest and I said, actually, I don't think that was really very biblical. Because every day was just a feel-good, positive message. Right? I didn't feel I was actually listening to the word of God. I was just listening to like this positivity. I mean, I like positivity, right? I go to the self-help sections all the time. But the Bible is not about positivity all the time. But when you read the devotional, some devotionals are just positive all the time. But how good you are, how God loves you all the time. It's about, you know, you're going to be, today's going to be a great day, right? It's going to be a great day today. But that's not actually God's word speaking to you. So what I'd like to exhort us to do is, instead of relying on devotionals, if you do rely on devotionals, that's fine. You can still read the devotionals. But I'll encourage you to also come back to the word of God, to do the hard work of reading the word of God yourself, and to listen and feed on the word of God, because that is what is really going to keep you going as a Christian. Be strong in Christ and to be strong in your holy living. Second example, which I want to apply to us is, I listen to sermon podcasts. And I'm sure quite a lot of you listen to sermon podcasts too. Now, I think it's helpful to listen to sermon podcasts, but sometimes I think there's a danger in relying on the sermon podcast for your spiritual feeding. Because the sermon podcast itself is not the word of God. It's actually someone who is actually giving you the message about the word of God. Right? It's like asking ChatGPT, what can I learn from this chapter in the Bible and how can I apply it? And thinking like, that's your quiet time, right? It's like, that's not quite how it works, right? The problem with a lot of sermons is if you go online, like if you go on YouTube, sometimes I go on YouTube and I listen to sermons, is they keep kind of like recommending other sermons of people that I don't know of. And sometimes when I listen to them, I'm thinking like, this doesn't sound quite right. So what I'd like to encourage you to do is, even if you do listen to podcasts, and I'd like to gently and, you know, hopefully persuasively tell you that before you listen to podcasts, can you read the passage beforehand? Think about the passage beforehand, before you actually just listen to someone else's interpretation of the Bible. Many, many years ago, when I was in theological college, there was this very, very prominent preacher called Roy Clemens. You can Google him in your free time. He was like the biggest like preacher of the day. He was like the best preacher of his generation. Now, one of my classmates at theological college was actually sent by his church to study with me. I think in our second year, there was a great scandal, and Roy Clemens was found to have been involved in the scandal, and he had to step down from ministry. Now, my classmate was really, really shattered because he was really close to Roy Clemens. In fact, Roy Clemens had stayed with his parents just a few weeks before the scandal had broke. But my classmate still continued on in his faith and today is doing good ministry and kept growing. But I remember talking to him and there were some people who actually dropped away from being Christian after this scandal. But the difference was that those who grew and fed on the word of God, they kept going on as Christians. But for those who were feeding on the word of Roy Clemens, they were the ones who most struggled, right? And that's not the only thing, right? It's not the only thing that you fed on the wrong thing. But later on, he wrote many books. You can also Google it, but they're not in print anymore. Roy Clemens wrote many, many books and preached many sermons. But after this scandal broke, people actually realized that when you go and listen to his old sermons and read his old books, on this particular point of his scandal, when the Bible actually spoke clearly about these issues, he would actually minimize what the Bible is saying and distort it. But it's only in retrospect after the scandal that when people went back, they actually recognized that because of what he was struggling with in his own life, the way that he taught the Bible, the way that he interpreted the Bible, both in print and in word, were actually being affected. So once again, right, it's a lesson to us that at the end of the day, you need to feed on the word of God. You need to hear God's word as it is. And even if you listen to sermons and podcasts, which I'm not saying you shouldn't, you should always come back to the word of God first and foremost. So in conclusion, what I'm saying today is actually quite simple. I'm just saying that the only way that we will ever grow as Christians and persevere as Christians and be strong as Christians is to keep feeding on the word. So my challenge to us this year is come to the word first and not be distracted by all the other things that the world is trying to draw our attention to. But also as we read the word, to really read the word as it is, humbly listen to it, humbly obey it, humbly let it speak to you rather than putting in your own ideas. So for this year, we're going to be doing the Gospel of John. So what's going to happen is when it starts in a week or two time, on a Monday, you will get some preparation questions. This is so that you will read the book of John for yourself first at the start of the week before you attend your Bible studies and before you come to church. And we hope that this is something that you will do because then you will actually be feeding on the word of God yourself rather than just listening to me, the pastor, or your Bible study leader. Okay? So let's go to God in prayer. Dear Father, as we come before you today, we recognize that there are many, many things in this world which can take up our time. But help us to see that the most important thing that we should be listening to, the most important thing that we should be feeding on is your word. It is your word that gives life, your word which teaches us about Jesus, your word which guides us, even makes it painful for us sometimes to listen to the new life of holiness we need to live in Jesus. Dear Father, we pray that as we come to the new year, we will seek to truly make our priorities straight in our minds and our hearts, to spend time with your word, reading your Bible in our own personal time, doing one-to-one, perhaps reading it with someone else, even in our small groups. But whatever we do, we pray that we will always not keep your word closed, but open, and that we will be hearing and feeding on it. Dear Father, we know that there are so many things that can distort the word. We may read into your word grace or law or church tradition, our own experiences, culture. We pray that we may be disciplined and humble to read your word as it is, to hear it humbly, to let it speak for itself, rather than us speaking our own ideas into it. We pray for all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Andrew, for reminding us about the need to continue to feed on God's word, and as well as to let the word speak to us as it is, and not to distort the word through our own experience, our own culture, our own interpretation, and sometimes to justify our action as well. So we need to really prayerfully read God's word and let the word speak to us directly. So there are some discussion questions that Pastor Andrew has prepared for us, but as today is Communion Sunday, so we will not have time for discussion. He has prepared two questions for us. That firstly, how do I approach the word of God? And the second question is, what do I need to change? Okay, so these are the two questions that we have. And I really hope that, or encourage you to discuss these questions over morning tea or lunch later on.
Thanks for listening to this podcast brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. For more information, Visit us online at busypc.sg.